Kane is in the building.
Weather is getting nicer, which means more events, whether it's a wedding or a date, Liberty Shirt Co. has you covered. They're offering three shirts for $333. Now, this may seem like a lot, but this is essentially less money than what you would spend on gas in a month, and the shirts will last a long time. And don't forget to use promo code 3P at checkout to save 10% on all other orders. That's promo code 3P at checkout. You save 10% when you go to www.libertyshirtco.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the 3P podcast, season 5, episode 21, lucky 21. All right, can't believe it already. I'm your host this week, Stephen Benazzo, and as always, I'm joined alongside
Alex Castle
and Josh Framowitz.
And we cannot forget about the man of many hats, our social media guy, just the guy in general who can do everything we ask him to and always continues to surprise us, Mr. TJ Hummel.
Thanks, boys. It's always nice to be back.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's good to be back, too. I unfortunately had to miss last week's show, which really was tremendous. And again, another quick shout out and thank you to Christian Wade, right?
Christian James.
Yes. Okay.
Wade Waters is the guy.
Wade Waters. Yeah, that's right.
You mix both.
Yes. I have been slacking on the All-American. So that's not the reason why I missed the show, but, you know, it does help. So I didn't get any spoilers. So I'm actually going to save that episode in my back pocket. So when I catch up, I can go back and listen to it. So sorry about that. Christian James, his character, Wade Waters on All-American. Either way, you know, from what I've heard and, you know, gotten a few little insights, it was a great episode. And again, he's just a tremendous guy. So, but now we're back this week and a lot of big things happening. Tonight, Wednesday, starts game one of the Stanley Cup final between the Tampa Bay Lightning. Sorry, Josh, I wanted the Rangers, but the Lightning looking for three-peat. Kind of ironic. That's their podcast name. So, they won back-to-back. Now this is their third straight year in the Stanley Cup. Looking at that three-peat. But they got a tough test against the Colorado Avalanche. So we'll get into that very shortly. There's a question. You know, New York sports, there's a lot going on, a lot of momentum, and a lot of big stars. So we have a big question we're going to ask ahead. I'm not going to spoil anything just yet. We'll wait till we get there. And if we have time, we'll talk more, you know, NBA finals, that's going on. You know, the Warriors hold that 3-2 series lead, big win at home the other day. And then maybe even more time than that, maybe we'll get into some more baseball. So let's start off with the Stanley Cup preview. We're not just going to hone in on just game one. We're going to just kind of get some predictions and what we expect for this whole series. So Mr. Framowitz, you know, I kind of want to get your thoughts. You know, what do you like about, like, or who do you like going into the series? At least to start off as, like, do you, you know, the Lightning, they overcame the Rangers down 2-0 and they came back and won the series 4-2 and 6. What do you think is a key factor for the Lightning going into the series against a very tough, competitive, young, fast, very efficient Colorado Avalanche team?
This series is really a battle of the opposites because you have an excellent offense taking on an excellent defense. Obviously, Colorado lit up the scoreboard, basically putting up football numbers in the Edmonton series. And then you have Tampa Bay, who they're riding the hot hand of the best goalie in hockey, Andrei Vasilevsky. He'd been the best goalie the last 5 years. Igor Shesterkin's now given him a run for his money as the best. So it's kind of 1-2, 1A, 1B type thing. But for right now, Vasilevsky, he's the best goalie in hockey. And it pains me to say that, but I'm sure most people, TJ, being the hockey fan you are, would have probably agree with me about that. This series really will come down to if Colorado could get the timely stops and or if Tampa's experience, the Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, if they could match the goal scoring ability and be able to keep up with Colorado's instant offense. Because unlike the past teams that they've played, a 2-0 deficit, yes, you have Andrei Vasilevsky, but that's not a comfortable lead. In the Rangers series, a 2-0 lead was comfortable. But against Colorado, facing Nathan MacKinnon, who might have overtaken Connor McDavid as the best player in hockey, that's a debate for another time. They could score 2 goals within 30 seconds, just like that. I don't know how they do it, but they make it work, and it's fun to watch. It looks like they're playing pickup hockey with the way they play. So quick, so fast. You blink, there's a goal behind your goalie in the net. It's fun. But they also haven't been playing the elite goalies. They haven't played the Igor Shesterkins or Andrei Vasilevskys. So who knows if they'll be able to score the 5, 6, 7 goals a night that they had been scoring. Chances are they probably won't. So something's going to have to give.
So I agree with you on that, especially the experience. The Lightning have the experience. I mean, like I said just a few minutes ago, not only have they made the Stanley Cup 3 years in a row, they won back-to-back, and they returned a lot of that same crew, the same members that were on those teams on this year. While the Avalanche, they're very talented. They're young, you know, like I said, and you were saying, they play fast. They can score a lot and very quickly. They have some of the top, you know, they got Cale Makar, one of the best defensemen in the league, definitely probably the best young defenseman, but I don't know if I'm ruling the best defenseman just yet, but you could.
I mean, but then you could also go back making the same argument with Adam Fox, but that's a debate for another time.
Oh yeah. And I know you want to throw that in there, you little Rangers fan, but no, it is fair though.
And Charlie McAvoy, but that's again a debate for another time.
Now we're getting a little biased here. They all say Seth Jones, huh? No, that's not good. You guys got fair points. So Castle, I want to ask you this question. So we saw the Lightning in the second round sweep the Florida Panthers. And so then the Rangers went to Game 7 against who was in the second round?
Carolina.
Carolina, that's right. Yeah, I forgot. Wow, it was a while ago. I guess I got a little memory loss here. And when they went to the 7th game, you know, so the Rangers were playing all those games. So then when the Eastern Conference Finals started, you know, and then the Rangers got out to that quick 2-0 lead because the Lightning hadn't played in however many days, while the Rangers were, you know, maybe a little tired, but they were fresh or they were hot because they just, you know, won 2 key games in a row and they had a lot of momentum going. So now it's switched. The Lightning just went to 6 games while the Avalanche swept in 4. Do you think the Lightning jump out to an early lead like they fell down to the lead in the previous round because the Avalanche haven't played in however many days? I mean, it felt like almost a week since they last played. Or do you think it's a whole completely different situation and, you know, the Avalanche are going to be ready and the Lightning going to be ready and it's just going to be a good battle? What do you think with that?
As you were asking me the question, I started to lean more towards, you know, I think the Avalanche are going to jump out and take the lead in the series right away. But then I kind of backtrack a little bit and say, I don't know, because again, this is a team that is making what, their third consecutive Stanley Cup? So
fourth, technically.
Fourth. Okay.
They're going for the three-peat.
So it's their fourth consecutive Stanley Cup. This is a team who their center is extremely experienced, and he's a solid leader for this team. And they've experienced a lot of different teams in the past few years. So I don't really think they're in a vulnerable position to immediately drop 2 games like they did to the Rangers. I think they can come out as strong as the Avalanche. And yeah, I don't really see them slacking right away. I think this is kind of something that they're very familiar with. Yeah, they might have, you know, some new things that they have to strategize about, because, you know, like you guys have emphasized, this is a team that can really score. So might take some time for them to adjust. Maybe they don't win game one, but I don't see them dropping two games like they did against the Rangers.
I think how you worded the question, Stevie, was very fair, but I think it really doesn't matter. And TJ, you could attest, you could jump in after, because both teams are going to have an extended rest. Yes, the Avalanche may have swept in four games and Tampa played two extra games, but Tampa has now had how many days since they beat the Rangers? And then you add in, what, 2-3 days beforehand for Avalanche? So they've both probably had around a week. So they're both well-rested at this point. So either they both will show signs of rust from that week off, but I don't think you'll see one team completely be affected more so than the other.
And I think that's fair. I was just wondering, like, because, you know, especially the Avalanche, like the Lightning, yes, now they've had a few days off, but they still haven't had that many compared to, like, the Avalanche. Like I said, I feel like they've been waiting, like they've probably been so antsy, especially this is their first Stanley Cup appearance since they last won in 2001. So the Lightning were just in it last year and already won it last year. So yeah, I mean, obviously it doesn't matter that you want to keep winning it every single year, but the Avalanche, since they haven't made it in so long, none of these guys on the rosters really, I think, have either made it or won it with other teams, or they haven't been there at all. Like, I just feel like the Avalanche might be a little antsy, and that's why, you know, they might be like overthinking it, or maybe not play the same hockey they've been playing in these past other rounds. It doesn't matter, because look at the Lightning. They fell to that early 2-0 lead, and then they came back four games in a row and moved on. So I'm not saying that either or whoever jumps out to the early lead is going to really affect them. I was just, you know, trying to gauge your guys' opinions on it, because, and I think I forgot what player, I think it was Steven Stamkos. He said in one of the victories in the post game, and he said, you know, listen, like, we were winning around and we were a little, like, you know, while the Rangers had the momentum and were, you know, playing in, like, they didn't really have time off to kind of, before they knew it, they had to play against them, and they already kind of hot and had all that momentum. That's why they jumped out, because the Lightning weren't really as focused as the Rangers were, but then they got locked in, and then look what happened. So that's why I say maybe the Avalanche, you know, granted this is the Stanley Cup and it's whole different situation and all that, and they're different teams. But I was just kind of wondering that. Now, TJ, I have the question for you. Fromwitz, you know, was kind of talking about goaltending and all that. You know, the Avalanche haven't really played a goalie in the same tier as
Vasilevsky.
I cannot speak right now with his last name.
His nickname is Big Cat. That might be easier for you to say. Yeah,
for Big Cat. Big 8-8 on Tampa Bay. So now, do you think goaltending will, because I mean, both teams can score goals. I think you got to give the Avalanche the hand on that slightly. But obviously Kucherov, Braden Point, if he's healthy, Stamkos, they can all score. So do you think goaltending will play a bigger factor in this series? Or do you think it's going to be the playmakers? What do you think is going to be really dictate how the series goes?
I think it's going to be a good mix of both, because both goaltenders are very well, but Tampa's going to have the edge in goaltending because, like Josh had said before, Vasilevsky's the best goalie in hockey right now. And yes, I can also attest to it. When it comes to playmaking, I think the edge goes to Colorado. Like, yeah, Tampa Bay has Steven Stamkos, Kucherov, Braden Point, et cetera, but the three-headed monster, that first line of Colorado, Gabriel Landeskog, Nathan MacKinnon, and Valeri Nichushkin. Yeah, that's a good one. They've played on average almost 20 minutes of ice time together so far this postseason. I don't see that stopping. And and seeing the emergence, well, not the emergence, but the continued success of Cale Makar. He's slowly, if not rapidly, approaching that superstar defenseman status, not only on the defensive end with how he handled McDavid in the last series, but when he gets the puck on his stick, he can go end to end by himself leading that rush and make something happen. So I think it, like, overall, goaltending, both phenomenal goaltenders. Edge goes to Tampa Bay. Playmaking, everyone has stars and playmakers on their team, but I think that Edge goes to Colorado in this series.
I can totally agree with that. And I think Darcy Kuemper for the Avalanche, he's really going to have to play some of the best hockey he's ever played. I mean, because, you know, if he allowed some goals, he knew he can rely on his offense scoring a lot of goals, because they were going against the likes of Mike Smith. You know, Binnington was out for St. Louis. I forgot who they played, or he played early in the series and got hurt, right? And then had to get
It was against the Avalanche. Kadri took him out.
Yeah. You know, so they haven't really gone against a guy like Vasilevskiy, or however you pronounce it.
Just go with Big Cat or Big 88.
Big 88. I was going by Big 88. Vasilevskiy. Say it one more time.
Vasilevskiy.
Still butchering it, huh?
You'll get there. We'll make it.
I feel like I've said it before, so I don't know why I can't say it right now. Probably because we're live. I guarantee once we log off, I'll say it perfectly fine. Anyways, so yeah, I think Darcy Kuemper is really going to have to play some of the best hockey of his life, because, you know, say if Big 88, Big Cat, he's on his A game, you know, then, I mean, look at him in this Ranger series. I mean, those first two games, the Rangers were putting the, you know, puck past him like no one else's business. And then once he stepped up, and I mean, the Rangers couldn't score, like, Shesterkin did as well as he could, but then he can only do so much because he wasn't getting enough offense. So and then the Tampa was just getting clutch goals at the right times. And then they just played better hockey. So I think it's going to be a really, really fun and good series. And Framus, I think you have one more point, because we're not done with the segment, because I want to get the predictions next, but I want one.
Well, this is a good way to lead into, to that. Then I think, I don't want to blatantly say who's going to win just yet, even though my prediction will make it obvious. I think when you look at the experience versus the inexperience, I like the experience in this matchup. And when it comes to who I think will step up the most, non-stars wise, because obviously you're going to get production from both first lines. You're going to get your Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, and MacKinnon goals. But I think of X factors and guys who will step up when their team needs it the most, it's Ryan McDonagh. And I say that because it's not the goals, it's the defense. Ryan McDonagh, yes, he might have been my favorite player when he was a Ranger, but now he leads the league in block shots, a very underrated category. And now he's 30th all time in career block shots. That's a lot of block shots, Stevie. Yeah, Victor Hedman is another one, but more so McDonagh, for the sole purpose of he is going to park himself in front of Vasilevskiy to block a shot. So it doesn't really matter who's taking the shot, whether it's Cale Makar or Nathan MacKinnon. Ryan McDonagh is going to get his face, his body on the line to block that shot. So I think that he's going to be the X factor that really won't be talked about in this series. So that's going to be someone that, now that I've mentioned it, you should look out for, because when you see that first block shot, chances are it's going to be Ryan McDonagh, whose body will be on the line.
Well, it's funny. I guess you always seem to tie Rangers into this. But no, it is true. Ryan McDonagh, I believe.
But to be fair, even if he wasn't a Ranger, I still would be saying it for the sole purpose of how he throws his body on the line. I agree with TJ making the point about Victor Hedman. but it's Victor Hedman. Yes, he'll hit guys and he'll play make, but he's not really going to park himself and get the same amount of block shots as Ryan McDonough. Ryan McDonough leads the league and he's 33 years old. So he's not a young buck like a Kel McCarr. So he's had some mileage on his body and he's still producing at a very high level.
And he's a former Badger. So I got to love him too. And I used to like him back when he was in his Rangers days, but yeah, he's still doing this good with Tampa. So now time has come. Let's get our predictions. Obviously it can go four games because both teams have swept a team in a certain series, or it can go, you know, five games, six games, or it can go the full seven. Obviously I'm kind of hoping for a game seven. I really want to, because then we won't get hockey for another couple months. So I want to really enjoy the Stanley Cup. And, you know, I hope it goes a nice seven games, or at least six, maybe competitive games. So Castle, you there?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here, Stevie.
Let's start off with you. Who do you got?
Well, considering I don't know too much about the Avalanche, and from what I saw with Tampa, I'm going to say Tampa takes the series in six games.
So Tampa in six, and they get that three-peat, and maybe we'll have to change our logo to blue. Fromitz, what are you thinking?
They're going to get that three-peat for us. I got to see them.
All right. That would be interesting. If Tampa wins, we change the logo to blue for Tampa. And that's an ugly kind of blue. That's a navy blue. So I really don't want that to happen. So I'm going to have to go with Colorado in seven, because I don't want to be changing my logo out here.
All right, so you're going for the logo, but so Colorado,
which really contradicts my whole point about Ryan McDonough being the X factor, and yeah. I really think the experience will ultimately prevail, but it's really like I really don't know.
Well, think like it just like logo aside and all, like, you know, like
if you I truly think it'll go seven games. And I think it's kind of a coin toss. I think we will see an overtime in at least game six or seven. That's how close this series will be. So it really could go either way.
But that makes for the best type of hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Overtime, oh, yeah. Game six or seven. I mean,
so whichever star prevails, that's who will win the series, whether it's Stamkos or McKinnon, because they will be the driving force behind the game winner, in my opinion.
Castle's first big playoff run, and he already knows the best kind of hockey.
I could just see it now. It's game six, overtime, Stamkos snipe. That's my prediction.
Castle really has it specific. I like it. Now, TJ.
I'm gonna go kind of hot here. I'm gonna go Colorado in six. I know you guys love a game seven, and I do too, but I think Colorado just has that edge, and they're just going to light up Vasilevsky to the point where he's not going to be able to stop. He's not going to be able to stop pucks. I think Colorado's offense is that explosive where Tampa Bay's going to be outshot in almost every game.
Yeah, that's actually fair, because it's not like Tampa was able to light up Shesterkin. So that's very interesting. I like that. Yeah. I like that take a lot.
The Lightning series was very low scoring. So you kind of look at that. You look at that series and you kind of play in the factors of how much of a tear Colorado went through in that whole Western Conference, putting up four, five, six, seven, maybe even eight goals.
But then you have to worry about Colorado itself, because they were also allowing a lot of goals.
Yeah.
And now they're facing someone in Vasilevsky who is much better than your average Joe goalie. So that's where it's tough, but this is the best kind of debate where we're really unsure because it could go either way.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Here's mine. I think what I saw from the Lightning was poise when they were down 2-0, especially they had some big blowout losses in MSG. And when it came home, they turned around and then they just didn't look back. And I think Colorado and my best friend, who I'm very close with from home, Trevor, he's a big Avalanche fan, and so is his dad. And as much as I would love to see them do it, because that's their team, I just feel like Tampa's going to win. Everyone kind of
You don't like betting against the champs. You're a smart man.
Well, no, I'm just trying to think logically. Everyone kind of was riding the Lightning off, even going into the playoffs. Like, I feel like they just kind of squeaked into the playoffs, and even in the playoffs, everyone was kind of riding them off, even in the first series against Toronto. And then they just kept finding ways to win because, again, you want to talk about experience and all that. And I think really the goaltending is going to be the biggest difference. And I think Big Cat, Big 88, Valasleski. Not quite. Still not quite there. Even when he allowed all those goals and had those awful performances, he stepped right back up. And I don't know if the Avalanche, if they'll be able to beat him in a series. Because not like Tampa only has him. Like, they still have a really good team. So I think Tampa will – I'll go with Castle. I think Tampa will three-peat, and I'm not – as much as I really don't want that, I would prefer to watch the Avalanche because of, you know, my boy and his dad, and then Chris Drury, who I met, and, you know, local guy, GM of the Rangers. He won the cup with the Avalanche. I actually have an autographed picture of him holding the cup signed to me. So, like, you know, it's cool. I would like to see Colorado. I haven't won it in a long time. I just feel like Tampa's going to win. And hopefully this will be the end of the run, but I don't know. So I think it'll be a fun series. If I had to pick a game, I would say at least six. I could see seven. So definitely six or seven. Like if it ended in six, wouldn't be surprised. If it went to seven, wouldn't be surprised. So yeah, so looks like we got two Lightning, two Avalanche. It's kind of good that way. So now it's not just like one against all or all the same. It's kind of like, you know, two little duels. So it'll be fun to watch. I think we're all hoping for a fun series, a good competitive series. I think these are really good teams. And, you know, the NHL playoffs to me have already been so entertainable, so watchable and very competitive and should continue this way. And, you know, so game one tonight, is it on ESPN, TNT? What do we got? Do we know?
ABC.
ABC. So ABC, you know, which is obviously through ESPN. What is it, 8 p.m. start time? Nine. Oh, wow, a little late. So, yeah, Framus might be sleeping by the time the third period rolls around.
Second.
Oh, wow, look at that. He's out early.
I work now. If this were last year by the third period, I'd be asleep. But now that I work, second period, I'm asleep.
Second period.
I was going to say, if we're all back in college, we'd all be watching this together. So,
yeah, 9 o'clock would feel like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now 9 o'clock feels like 2 o'clock in the morning. So, I guess, well, you know, if Thomas is on a, you know, he's got his early bedtime, we better keep things moving. And we'll go to the question that we've been kind of mulling ourselves. And we're all New York fans in some capacity. Obviously, I like a lot of Chicago teams, but I love my Yankees. But, you know, I live close to New York. Framus is from New York. He's all New York. Castle's in Jersey. He's all New York. TJ, you're kind of like me. You're split a little bit with some Boston, but then some New York. So
at least I'm on the right side of Boston sports.
Yeah. Yeah. At least you like the Yankees. That's all I care about. You know, I could care less about the football and the hockey and, you know, all that, but at least we can agree on the Yankees.
He likes the Yankees and he doesn't support a team that starves children. So he gets two thumbs up for that.
Well, that's it. That's it. That's you care about society, you care about the children, TJ, and that's all we can ask for. So let me ask you this. New York sports, they're riding. The Rangers above schedule, you know, make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, push Tampa, the defending back-to-back champs, like we just said, to six games. They got a lot of stars and upcoming stars. The Mets and Yankees. Yankees are the best team in the league. Mets are probably the second.
Right there. They're right there. They're second.
You know, you got to give them credit. They both have a lot of stars. Giants and Jets, hopefully they're on the come up. They're starting to get some young stars too. You know, the basketball teams, they're, I don't know about them, but they're there. But they both have some stars, especially Brooklyn.
I would say one more so than the other.
Yeah, but I mean, Brooklyn hasn't really done much, so.
That's true. That is true. It was a very disappointing year.
It was probably for both teams, really.
But for the team that we lost to, I'm not as upset anymore.
That's fair. That's fair. You know, because now they're playing for the championship, so I'll give you that. So anyway, so everyone's probably like, all right, Steve, like, what are you getting to? We know New York sports are kind of hopeful, you know, or seem to be back or seem to like getting that good momentum. And there's a lot of big name household names there. So my question is, who to you guys is the biggest star in New York? Like, who do you think when you think of New York sports, who like really comes to mind? Or even if that's too tough to ask, because, you know, it's kind of tough. Who do you think, which star in New York has a bigger impact for their team? And TJC, you said Eli Manning. That may be back. I mean, I guess he's still a star in New York.
And the conversation. Debate over.
Yeah, you know, we'll just end
if that's here. The case, we need Joe Ruback on here ASAP because he'd be going on a 10-hour rant about that.
Oh, yeah. And you can't deny it. I mean, like, Eli really has.
Oh,
like,
two Super Bowls. There, oh, yeah. You can't deny that.
And he's got the legacy in New York.
Everyone, but I think we should word it as current athlete.
Yes, current. Current athletes.
Yeah, there we go. That's more of a better question.
Yeah. Sorry, hey, TJ, again, this is why we need you to like correct me on these things or, you know, correct us on these things and to really make sure we're sharp on our A game, you know?
Yeah, really get the concise questions.
Yeah, like right now, if someone said, who's the best three-peat host, I would not be voted because I'm not too sharp with my questions. And then Fromis is agreeing. And, you know, Fromis, I don't know. I think maybe Castle TJ at this point would be up for it.
No, you get my vote. You get my vote. It's the consistency might not be there, but the energy and the rants, it kind of outweighs it. So
I appreciate that.
You get my vote.
I may not be the sharpest of the bunch, but I try to bring, you know, good use out of it. So, all right. So, Promise, you seem like you're getting a little annoyed because your bedtime's coming up. So we'll start with you, you know, because you might have to put your head on the pillow after you say this, because, you know, I don't know how long your rant's going to be. So you start.
I mean, there's so many ways that I could take this, because when you're debating all your favorite teams, it becomes very tricky, but it's fun. The easy route right now is to go with Aaron Judge. And none of you would disagree with that. I'm sure all of you are thinking Aaron Judge is the face of New York, and it's very understandable. I'm probably thinking Aaron Judge is, but I also look at how the Rangers did this year, and there's no chance in hell they would be where they were without Igor Shesterkin. I think that he might be the best goalie in hockey. It's 1A, 1B with Vasilevsky, or 1 and 2, but it's very close. I don't really know. No one really knows, and that's why everyone is going to keep debating this. He kept them in that series with Tampa Bay, and he's the reason why they advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals. Their goal scoring disappeared, but their goaltending was sharp when they needed to. He looked rusty in the Penguin series, those two games where he got pulled in game three, and then he bounced back. You got to keep in mind with that Penguin series, that was his first road playoff game ever. And he looked like a rookie, which is understandable. Jason Tatum, this is his first real playoffs besides the bubble and when he was a rookie. So this is his first real playoffs as a vet. And he's had moments where he's looked like a young kid. And at times he's looked like a superstar for Boston. There's no question his talent. So I do want to go Igor Shesterkin, but I do want to throw out Kevin Durant as another option, because at times I've watched Net games and I've been amazed watching Kevin Durant play basketball, because he really looks like he's the best player any given night when he plays. I don't know what happened in that Boston series, but that's beyond me and that's behind me, because that's in the past now. Boston's defense was just something else. But when Kevin Durant plays and he's healthy, he's dropping 30 points and he's making his teammates better. I look at the time when Kyrie Irving wasn't playing and Harden was injured and the Nets were rolling out seven guys, the bare minimum, and most of them were rookies and undrafted rookies, and the remarkable run that they had in the beginning part of the year where they jumped to first place. That's all Kevin Durant. He was scoring. He was leading the league in scoring with 30 points at that point before he got hurt. He was probably everyone's unanimous MVP at that point. That was before DeMar DeRozan started balling. That was before Steph Curry really like did his thing. Kevin Durant took over. So I think I'm leaning towards Kevin Durant, but it's really close. I want to go with Igor and I want to go with Aaron Judge, but I can't. So I'm going to go with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, come on. Don't be taking all the names. I gotta stop you there before you start.
Hey, there's still plenty of other names that you can go with. There's still Saquon, who's due for a bounce back.
Come on.
You're a Mets fan, probably. You want to say Pete Alonso. I get it, Stevie.
You got to let the other guys say some names. You've just been.
Hey, I'm looking.
Sorry, Castle. Sorry, TJ. I guess we're just going to let Promise list on the names.
Stevie, I'm looking at you and I see that Mets shirt you're wearing. I know you want to say Pete Alonso. I had to throw that out there.
Hey, I'm wearing my my Mets Michael Jordan Last Dance shirt. Castle, yeah,
it's a little known fact. Michael Jordan actually played for the Mets on the tail end of his baseball career.
Did he actually?
No.
Well, I knew he played for the White Sox, but I didn't know if he. I don't know these things. Promise got me flustered now. Castle, please just take it away.
Game, you threw off your game. It's okay. So it seems like there's a two-parter to this question. It's the king of New York, current athletes, and then the most impactful athlete in New York right now, unless we're blending them into one question.
You can blend it. The way and when I give mine, I'll kind of give my reasoning behind it. But you can blend it to get to, I just didn't want, like, if one was too hard, you know, that's why the second one would kind of help. So you can kind of blend it.
All right. So it's, you know, the reality is that there's no one, because I'm just going through right now of all of my team, the teams that I support in New York. And realistically, there's not anyone on the Giants that I can name right now. Saquon has just had too many inconsistencies. I mean, you look at the team and the only guy that's been with the team for the past 5 years is Sterling Shepard, and, you know, don't even need to go there. So hope Saquon has a bounce back year, but I'm not throwing him in there yet. The most impactful guy for the Knicks is probably Dolan, just because of how much he continues to ruin it. So he's the most impactful guy for the Knicks. Now,
the Knicks have an all-star, though. They're power forward.
Now, moving on from that, when you look at the other basketball team in New York, I hate to admit it, but Durant could really take the cake. You know, when there was the issues with Harden, when there was the absence of Kyrie, he was the guy for that team. And to have the career that he's had, to come back from the injuries and to jump into arguably the biggest market of his career and to done what he's done for that team, I think he's right there. I would also throw in Igor too. I think that's who I'm going to give it to. I'm going to give it to Igor. I think the fact, you know, watching him with the Wolf Pack, what he's done with the Rangers, what I saw from him in the playoffs, the fact that he was in the top five for MVP voting as a goalie.
Top three.
I
Top three.
So even.
Yeah, he's a finalist.
That just solidifies it. You know, Aaron Judge, what he's doing this season, you know, like TJ said, give him a key to the city, pay him whatever he wants. The only reason why I'm not saying Judge flat out is because there are other guys on that team who have contributed, not just in the bullpen, but with the bat too, where as opposed to Durant and Igor, yeah, there are other guys on the team that contribute, but they really stand out. And the fact that Igor is so young in his career, I mean, you know, nothing is guaranteed yet, but again, this is from my limited knowledge of hockey. I believe at the end of the day, and I'm not going to compare them because he's so young in his career, but I think that Rangers fans will look at him in a very similar light that they look at Lundqvist.
As a Ranger fan, I could 100% agree with that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. So this is how I'm going to answer this question. So I remember I was watching, was it like a Jimmy Fallon or some sort of like show like that? And this is when Matt Harvey was the Mets ace, you know, Batman, and he was having all those good years and all that. And they sent him out in the street in New York and barely anyone recognized him. So that's why I say, for me, a guy like Judge and Kevin Durant are probably the biggest stars in New York. I think they're almost tied. Because if Kevin Durant and Aaron Judge go anywhere, not only because they're so freaking tall, but they're just so noticeable. Because, I mean, Judge now has been like the captain, in quotations, or should have been the captain of the Yankees, the leader of the Yankees, for pretty much that 2017 season when he hit 52 home runs and led the Yankees to the ALCS and should have won MVP that year. You know, and then Kevin Durant, he's been one of the best NBA players for how long now? And, you know, like, I just, like, I would say no one on the Islanders. The Knicks, you know, like, yeah, RJ's popular, but he's not the biggest star. You know, the Mets, you could say DeGrom, Pete Alonso, but DeGrom hasn't pitched in a while, so I wouldn't even say DeGrom. You could say Pete Alonso, but he's still kind of young. This is only now going to be his like third year or fourth year in the MLB. So, and I think he still doesn't have a name that Judge holds or like Kevin Durant holds. So, and then someone on the Islanders are like in Long Island and you know, maybe Matt Barzell. I don't know. I don't think he's that big of a household name to where you would say he's the biggest star in New York, not by the, you know, the slightest. So, you know, I would say like Shesterkin's a big one, you know, like he, but I still think he's too young where some people may not, you know, I mean, I think this playoffs have helped. So I can see it, but I still don't think he's the biggest star yet. I think eventually he may be able to, if he keeps leading the Rangers to Stanley Cup finals, if he delivers the Rangers a Stanley Cup championship, oh yeah, without a doubt. And that's why I think really whoever's so like right now, my thing is Katie and Judge, because they're the most noticeable and the most, like, if you were walking past on the street, you would recognize them without a heartbeat compared to some other guys, plus what they've done. But really, I think the biggest star will be whoever delivers a championship to whatever respective team there is.
So hypothetically, if the Giants win the Super Bowl, Daniel Jones is the biggest star in New York.
I mean, I'm not saying like unless if he just sucks and then someone else does, but like, you know, like a Saquon, if Saquon continued on his path from his rookie year and didn't get hurt and he continued on the path and the Giants went to the playoffs and made a deep run and say won a Super Bowl, Saquon would without a doubt be the biggest name in New York. I mean, look at Odell all those years. He was the biggest star because he had everyone was like dyeing their hair like him. Everyone was saying the catch OBJ. Like everyone was trying to do one handed. Like he was the biggest star, really not in New York, almost like one of the biggest stars in the country, you know, in football and stuff like that. So like he had that. And that's why I think Judge kind of hasn't. KD kind of has it right now. But I think, you know, a guy like Saquon could have had it. Just unfortunately, you know, with injuries and other stuff, he kind of lost it. And, you know, unless if he has a really good year, the Giants have a really good year, maybe he can get that up. And right now it's easy to say Aaron Judge because it's baseball season. He's doing so well this, you know, right now. But I think overall, Judge just has I think I'll go with Aaron Judge just because he's been in New York now for such a long time and what he means to not only Yankees fans, but really the like he is a face of New York. You know, everyone like everyone talks about Aaron Judge. KD is kind of still new to New York. So I'll say Aaron Judge. TJ, do you have someone? I don't want to exclude you for all that you do for us,
I,
you know.
I do actually, and as much as I wanted to say Jose Trevino, I'm actually going to go with Mika Zibanejad. Yeah, I like your reaction there, Fromowitz.
I approve. Keep talking.
So,
hold on. That's, I mean, listen, I think I like Mika a lot, but.
Ooh. Let me finish. Ever since he came over to the Rangers in June of 2016, he made an instant impact. 14 goals in his first season with them, 27, 30, 41, 24, 29. He's good for at least a 20-goal season every season so far. And that doesn't even put into the assists and overall points. Mika has helped turn that team around. I don't know if you've watched Rangers hockey or paid any close attention to it in the last like 6-7 years, Stevie, but without Mika, without his play style, without his offense, without his defense, the way he can play both ways, I don't think the Rangers would be anywhere near successful. They'd still be searching for that. They'd still be searching for that X factor. Yeah, they got Panarin, but what's Panarin going to do if he doesn't have anyone else around him?
I think it's more so Chris Kreider. Yeah, Chris Kreider is great, but I think he needs Mika in order to have been able to have the year he had.
Agreed. So it's just like the fact that Mika just plays overall hockey just masterfully. He both ends offensively, defensively. His IQ is unreal on the ice. And yeah, I like what you guys said about like Igor with Aaron Judge. I do think KD's still a little bit too new to be like the star of New York, but that's a debate for another day. And I'm going to stick with Mika. And
so yeah. Let me ask you this. So, you know, I know I kind of asked the two questions. So you think Mika obviously is the most impactful to his respective team. And I can agree with that. But do you think he's the biggest star in New York now? I want to like really hone in on that. Do you think he's the biggest star in New York or do you think there's other bigger stars?
I mean, literally or figuratively? Because Aaron Judge is the biggest star in New York.
Well, yeah. Like,
actually, I do think Kevin Durant takes the cake on that because he's 6'10 and Aaron Judge is only 6'7.
No, he's not. He's 7 feet. Don't be fooled by whatever the internet says. That man is 7 feet. For some reason, he refuses to admit it. I don't care if you're listening or not, KD. You're 7 feet, and the doctor lied to you. There's my rant.
Okay, I think we can agree with this, though. I think we can agree with this. There's other guys. I think the three biggest stars in New York right now in New York sports are Aaron Judge, Kevin Durant, and Igor Shesterkin. I think that's agreeable, right? Those are the three biggest stars.
I mean, I agree, but I think that it's kind of interchangeable because after TJ made that point about Mika Zibanejad, yes, it's like you need an elite goaltender to go far, but your team can only go so far if you don't have the scoring, and Mika is the backbone of that Rangers scoring.
Yeah, so I can agree with that. I think he may be the one that like who is the most impactful to the team. Like without him, like who won't maybe? And I think, you know, Mika could be the guy for that. But I don't see Mika like you're not going to walk around the streets of New York and like you're going to see so many Aaron Judge T-shirts and jerseys. You're going to see so many Kevin Durant.
Who haven't walked around New York City and play and during playoff hockey time? Or even hockey season in general, the amount of Zibanejad jerseys.
I Stevie, I agree with TJ. After walking around New York City, there's a lot of Zibanejad jerseys. And on top of it, he's got the really long hair that is very noticeable. There's a lot of people who like him for that style.
Like, he kind of has the presence in New York like Matt Zuccarello used to have.
Yeah. He's the local name that the local Ranger fans admire, but he's not at the superstar national level where people outside of New York really know who Mika is. Like hockey fans know Mika, but the casual fan out in Detroit won't know his name just yet.
Well, I
think that also goes with hockey not being as big as like football or basketball. Like, well, Igor may not even be on that level yet.
Soccer is still more popular in the U.S. than hockey is. And that's a problem.
I have another name that I want to throw out, because when you posed your question as the most recognizable, Stevie, and the face, there is one person that really comes to mind. I don't think he's the most impactful, but I think the face you can make a really good argument about, and that's Nestor Cortez. And I might be crazy for saying that, but I'm actually dead serious, because when I watch Yankee games, I see the promotion Nasty Nestor t-shirt night that you're going to, Stevie. I see Yankees players now having mustaches because of Nestor Cortez. I see Michael Kay trying to grow out a mustache because of Nestor Cortez. I see little kids wearing mustaches, glued on mustaches to Yankee games. Just like you have people at Yankee Stadium wearing robes for Aaron Judge, Nestor Cortez is getting that same treatment.
He is.
Same thing with Bronxy, though. Bring that back to the last season. He had the pet turtle. Locker room loved it. Where'd he bring it? With the Boys and Girls Club in New York, right? And taking care of Bronxy. Like, it's not only just a stadium thing. It's a whole New York thing with Nestor Cortez now.
Well, I think that just shows you the point of New York. Like, it's such a big market like that, where they will either take you in and love you, and just like, you'll just, you know, like, once you're loved, like, you are loved, and you know, you will have so much support from them. And then if you're hated, you're going to be hated and not really talked about too nicely. And, you know, I think, you know, even like Nestor Cortez, I think he started off the Yankees, you know, was average. And then he got like DFA'd, Seattle like signed him, didn't do good by them. Yankees brought him back, and then he took off. And then now he's like, really right now, he's like our ace. You know, even though Garrett Cole still is, like, he's been our best pitcher all year.
Rotation of five aces.
You know, I think, you know, yeah, he may this year be maybe one of the bigger faces, but overall in general, like, he's still very new. Like,
I think it's more so the face.
The
signature look, which definitely has a huge part of being a face. If he's walking down the street, I'll be honest, chances are you would recognize Nestor Cortez for his mustache better than you. Like, he's more recognizable than Igor, because Igor is not like a big guy and he doesn't have that standout face. Chances are if those two are walking down the street together, you're going to recognize Nestor Cortez first.
And I can agree with that. Maybe I was wondering for the game if I should shave off my chin and keep and just go stash. What do you guys think?
See, now you're thinking about this. Now
I know. Now, I was actually thinking about it before you even brought that up. So it's funny that you did.
Vote. You got my vote.
All right.
Well, got my vote too.
Real
as well.
All right. So I got a clean vote from you guys. So I'll ask you, have about a week to ponder it. Man, Castle busy guy, huh?
The three Pete's got a new character now. It's Mustache Stevie.
Yeah. I just don't want to scare off any people at Yankee Stadium, though. That's my thing.
Well, according to what Josh was saying, you'll just blend in with the crowd. I mean, you look to your left and there'll be a 95-year-old guy with a mustache, and you'll look to the right and a 4-year-old girl with the mustache, and then there's you with your mustache.
Exactly.
you'll blend in with both of them.
True. Yeah, you know what? Maybe I will. So we'll stay tuned for that. You know, maybe I'll have to.
To support Aaron Judge. So this is the ensemble, Stevie. It's a robe and then the mustache. It's the 2-for-1 special.
Oh, that is that would be something. That'd be something. I think if anything, definitely the mustache. That robe might get a little too hot, you know. So, and I guess one last little segment before we wrap it up. We can just talk about, you know, I don't really want to get into the finals. It's 3-2. Warriors won. The next game's in Boston, so we can talk more about that next week, because then either the series will be wrapped up by them, or
will be wrapped up by next week, because I think game 7 is Sunday. But okay. Next week we'll talk about the NBA finals, the NBA draft, free agency, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, so look at that. Like, he's already trying to get the host title back. I get him for 1 week and he's already trying to, you know. So I, you know, we'll just kind of talk some baseball, and especially the Yankees. I know the Yankees, 45-16, first place, best team in baseball right now, even in the AL East, which a lot of good, I mean, even the Red Sox, you got to give them credit. They've won however many out of their past 10 games. Like, they've really been one of the best baseball teams lately, but they're still like 12 games behind the Yankees just because of their slow start, very slow start in the beginning of the season. The Yankees just been, you know, playing so well all year. And then right now they're up. Is it still 1-0 against the Rays? Aaron Judge is hitting his 25th home run of the season, already halfway to 50, and we're not even at the All-Star break yet. So I think he's on a higher pace than he was when he hit the 52, right? Yeah. So
he's on pace for 66.
Yeah,
he's coming. Stevie, I just want to keep reminding you. You were worried about this Yankee team, right? How there was no pitching, that the bats weren't alive, right?
If you weren't going to bring it up, I was.
I figured.
Yeah. No, listen, again.
We got to hold them accountable.
I know you already have held me accountable for it, but you can keep holding me accountable for it. Listen, like I said last time, I'm glad they proved me wrong, because, again, this is what I expect the Yankees. I mean, actually, I didn't expect them to do this good. I expect them to maybe be where, like, the Rays or Blue Jays are at, where they're still, like, 10 or so games over 500. I didn't expect them to be like this good, but when you have guys like Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Gerrit Cole, Gleyber Torres, like, and then, you know, like, and then you have those guys, but then you can't win like last year. It's just like, it's just frustrating and mind boggling. Like, why? But now they're actually with runners in scoring position, actually like getting guys home, scoring runs. The pitching's been phenomenal. I really think Matt Blake has done a tremendous job. I think really he's been the key factor. I mean, I think we have good pitchers. I mean, Gerrit Cole, you signed him to a $300 million deal. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. You know, he was an ace wherever he's gone. And then Nasty Nestor, who would have thought he would be this good? You know, he was more of a, like, a long relief guy. And now he's starting one of the best, like, he's up for the AL Cy Young. So I really think Matt Blake, I think it's like the right staff moves. I think really probably getting a new hitting coach was huge too. And they kept him in system, like some guy from one of the minor league teams. So like, he's probably worked with a lot of these guys at some point in their career. So yeah. So listen, was I wrong? Yes, I was. But you know what? I'm fine saying it because they're actually doing good. I'd rather be wrong, but knowing that the Yankees are winning and doing well and I can enjoy it, then being right, but then the Yankees suck, and then it's like,
it's you know, good to for me to be able to hold you accountable, because it's a good kind of,
yes,
wrong. Like, this is you like being wrong in this instance, so it's okay for me and TJ to hold you accountable.
Yes, and listen, I'm not gonna be a guy that like walks back on my word, or like, you know, that's like
better not, because there's proof out there.
There's proof, yeah. Anyone could go to that episode and listen to it. You know, it's there, so I can't deny it. You know, but like I said, the main thing is I'm glad I was wrong, because this is much more enjoyable, and you know, I just hope it continues on. Like I listen, you gotta expect the Yankees to hit a cold streak at one point. You got to. There's no way they can keep up this pace all year. Would it be fantastic to see? Yes. But there's going to be a point where they're going to probably hit a cold streak. You know what happened in the 2009?
I just want to add on to that. Is that because I don't really know if that's the case. Like, maybe we have different definitions of cold streaks. Maybe you're thinking like a 10-game losing streak or so. But I'm thinking like, let's say a guy like Aaron Judge who cools down that homer streak, which is definitely possible. But you look last night, for example, how the Yankees won 2-0. Their only offense was Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and a normal pitching performance from Gerrit Cole. Like, that's not a great win. I mean, it's a great win, but it's not the win that we on paper should happen. I mean, yes, you expect Gerrit Cole to dominate, but with all the star power we have, the only offense to come from IKF, I consider that a cold night because Aaron Judge was hitless.
No, I agree. Or even so look at the
they're Clemson. Able to win games where it really is pretty ugly looking. They have the most comeback come from behind wins. They have the most wins without a homer this year. And then on top of it, you have like every single pitching record right now. So they're able to get these wins when their stars aren't starring. It's a good, I like that. Doesn't sound right, but it sounds fun.
Yeah, it's definitely not a real world word, but you just coined it to be. So congratulations. But no, I can agree with that. And look at the Cubs series. That Friday night, Sevy pitches a gem. And they go to extra innings against the Cubs. And the Cubs are, like, not good this year. You know, and it's at home. And they end up winning in, like, extras. I think it was, like, 13 innings or whatever. They went 2-1. And it's like, holy crow. And then the next day, they win, like, 8-1. And then the next day, they win 18-4. You know, so they, like, they can win, like, in any, like, they can score runs, which last year they couldn't score a lot of runs. It was always close. And then even last year, when they fell behind, they would always fall behind early. Now they're actually jumping out to an early lead. Look at Judge already. Even if they blow their lead, like at least they're showing fight. They're just actually looking like a good baseball team. They look like the best team in the league, and it's just very fun to watch. And that's why they own the best record, because they're playing like the best team in the league, and because they're hitting well. And then if they're not hitting well, they're pitching well. And really, they've been pitching very well the whole season. So, you really got to give them credit. And yeah, I mean, obviously, as Yankees fans, we're biased, and we hope it continues up. But it's just nice seeing both New York teams doing very well. And TJ, do you have a point?
Yeah. One last thing before we wrap up with the Yankees. John Boy said it best. The Yankees are just the best at winning. They. Like Josh said, they have the most comeback wins in the MLB. The Yankees also have the fewest comeback losses in the MLB. So right now, if you're watching the Yankee game, you're watching the safest lead or the least safe lead in all of baseball. And that's kind of like a really fun stat to kind of get with this season so far.
It is perfect. Castle, you have something?
It just feels good to watch the Yankees win again. I shared the same frustrations with you at the beginning of the season. Still some things I'm kind of iffy about, but I think overall, not only the overall team success, but the success with Judge definitely brings back optimism to us fans of the Pinstripes.
And I can't have said it better myself. And then for all those that play MLB The Show, including myself, and I know we all do, or at least have at some point. Judge has now surpassed Mike Trout, I believe, for the best live series card in Diamond Dynasty. So some people might have just heard me say that and be like, what the hell does that mean? But if you play the show, you know what it means. And that's pretty impressive because Trout has held that
for 5 years
record, if you want to say, for like, 5 years. So, and I think he deserves it because, listen, Trout's having a really good year, but to me, Judge is having like one of the best years, or really the best year.
I don't think it's close. I think he is by far having the best.
Yeah. Year. Batting over 300, you know, maybe he doesn't have as many RBIs as some people but like he's still batting over 300. He leads the home runs by like almost 7 or, you know, and then the RBIs, he's right up there too. So yeah, what he's been doing offensively has been incredible. So, well, that's all the time we have for today. Before we wrap up, just a few quick shout outs. TJ, obviously, like, I'm going to stop showing you out, dude, because you're just one of us, you know, so not to be like mean or anything like that, but like, you know, again, we just know how you're just so good, you know, and like, you know, I just, you're one of us, you put in all the hard work. So, you know, thank you. But yeah, you know, you don't always, you know, you just know that we always thank you. And, you know,
it's always good to hear it. I know you guys appreciate the work. It's just always nice to hear it.
I'm sure. And then obviously shout outs to some of our partners, Kevin from Wild Chat Sports. he's always doing wonderful things, and I'm always love to see the new content that he pumps out, and he's always sharing our content, and so it's really a fun partnership with him. OP Sports Betting Promise, are they officially open? Not yet.
Oh yeah, almost. But soon.
Very soon, very soon. But same thing, they've gained quite, you know, bit of a following so far too, and they're sharing our content, and we're loving that, and we're super pumped, super amped, looking forward to when they finally open and really, you know, share the word and spread their what they do. And then Liberty Shirt Co. obviously can't be more than thankful enough to be partners with them. You know, I'm going to have to start doing some job interviews soon. So hopefully a shirt will get sent my way. Still waiting. We'll see. But anyways, you know, they got the best shirts, the best quality, and they make a lot of big names look real good. Even though they look good already, they make them look even better. So if they're rocking it and they're loving it, why can't you? And then let's see. Again, shout out to Christian James again. He was sharing the episode and with all his followers and following. So for him to be doing that and follow us, like, we really do appreciate that. So Christian, thank you. And hopefully I'll get to maybe meet him one of these times, and we'll have to record with him again, and I'll actually be there. So, and then anyone else I'm missing or no? No. So yeah. And then just, I don't know, it's another fun episode, boys. And next week should be a lot of basketball. So I'm looking forward to that. I love draft season. Doesn't matter the league, but especially the NBA and NFL are my favorite. So looking forward to that. I'm sure a lot of moves are going to be made with teams trading, moving picks, and maybe some big name guys. So I'm sure by the time we're recording next week, it's going to be a lot of news, especially revolving basketball champion crown and all that. So looking forward to that. So make sure to tune in next week. Thank you, everyone. And then for all the fathers out there, happy Father's Day. Can't forget about you guys. You know, we were blessed by our fathers to put us in good positions and able to, you know, have us achieve our dreams and tackle our dreams and continue making these podcasts. So happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And none of you are fathers yet, right? No? All right. You never know.
Last time I checked, I'm not.
I plead the fifth.
All right, good. Just, listen, not that big problem. Just, you know, just want to make sure. But yeah, so take care, everyone. And thanks again.
The weather's getting nicer. Basketball season's heating up. Baseball's around the corner. You know what that means. It's time to win some cash. OP Sportsbook launches in late spring and will provide a fully encrypted and anonymous betting platform where users will bet with stable cryptocurrency. This means that they can place bets with crypto without having to worry about the volatility of crypto. Powered by the Solana blockchain and Web3 technology, opsportsbook.com represents the future of sports betting. 3Pete is proud to partner with them, and always remember to bet responsibly. That's opsportsbook.com.